I mean, I find numerous examples in Paul's epistles where he had heard about things that were going on in a church because they were being talked about. Sometimes scandalous things happen and they got to be talked about. Right? But work with your own hands as we commanded you. We got to, hey, can't be lazy. I think when people think the Lord is near, sometimes there's a tendency to be maybe lazy at that. Maybe he thought, people thought the coming of the Lord was near, as we should now. Not that he's going to come at any moment. I know he isn't coming tomorrow or tonight. And you know what? Jesus is not going to return next week. There are things that have to be fulfilled. And they will not be fulfilled in 1 week. Just can't. Now things could start in a moment. Right? But the Jesus Christ's coming is going to be preceded by many signs that are clearly spoken of in the book of Revelation. I mean, we got these trumpets that are going to sound. Trumpets are signals. I think when I get to Revelation, you'll really enjoy it. But we're going to stick to the epistles of Paul for now, because these foundational principles of the gospel are so very important to your walk. I'll tell you why. All the knowledge in the world of prophecy and of the things that are going to happen in the end times are not going to save you from the troubles in the end times. What saves you is walking worthy of God. Not that I don't, what I mean is your weaponry at that time is going to be your walk with Christ. See, I want to walk worthy of Christ so that when that time comes, I'm ready to serve. Because that's what I come for, is to serve. I really want to serve God in the Great Tribulation. I really want to serve in that time. I want to be one of the end time prophets. I do. I really, really do. But that, you know, you can't just take that to yourself. God has to fill us with things. And those things have to be filled in us according to faith. And according to the things which Paul, you know, you've got to, the things that he just declared. We've got to get our vessels held in sanctification. Otherwise, we will be meat for Satan's grinder. You know why? Because if we sin, we already belong to Satan. If I were to be weak in regards to liquor or women or whatever in the time of the Antichrist reign, then all that would have to be done to bring me down would be to make these sinful things, offer them to me. And if you think that, oh, when that time comes, I'll shape up. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how will you fare when you're up against chariots? The meaning being, if you find it impossible to walk for God now in this time of peace, you will not find it any easier in the time of trouble. The time to get right is now. Though it can be difficult because, I mean, I see in a sense that when, you know, he that suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. When tribulation and persecution comes, sometimes it helps you stop sinning. But of course, on the other hand, as we read, Paul was afraid that it might happen to the Thessalonians. Sometimes when tribulation and persecution comes, people fall away from the faith. It gets harder to maintain the faith. Okay, let's see. Walk honestly towards them that are without, etc. You may have lack of nothing. Work with, you know, Paul always worked with his own hands. He did receive gifts of people. As I've received minimal. I mean, I have one staunch supporter. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, God, for my own brother, who's really the only person who supports my ministry at all. Other than that, it's been a long time since anyone's made a donation to me. I work. Other men, my pastor, I have a pastor. I have a church that I frequent as often as I can. It's far away because there aren't many good churches around. But my pastor works with his own hands. Always been very pleased with that. though he also receives something from the church, which is right. But on the other hand, you know, we work with our own hands. Sometimes we work with our hands, but we can't do everything we need to support a ministry. So people help. And this isn't, I'm not asking for anything from you. I just want you to hear me, really. Hear me, that's all. If you want to send me something, send me a letter telling me what you've gotten from the study. And send me your prayers. Send them to the Lord. And continue to study God's word. Continue to listen. That's all I want. I have everything else I need. Verse 13. Now we move into this little section that has caused so much trouble for so many people, and the entrance of so much heresy, that it literally boggles the mind. Verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Let's stop there for a second. What's he talking about? Sleeping people? I mean, people who can't hear? No. Asleep is a figure of speech that means they're dead. Now, he could have said, now really, listen. The way people think today, what he should have said, according to the doctrine of most churches, he should have said this: I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are in heaven. They are, because that's what people teach happens when you die. You go to heaven. You don't go to heaven. All right? It's not the truth. The truth is, you sleep. And you wait for the resurrection. You sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know what? If they were already in heaven, you don't have to hope for anything. Really. Because why? What? Paul, in the book of Romans, we covered this not too long ago, chapter 8, verse 24 of the book of Romans. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Hope is expectation in something future that's going to happen. We are hoping in the resurrection. Those who sleep in the dust are going to awake. This is the teaching of the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself taught this.